Welcome to the Michael Rivera What Really Happened radio show.
Aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Saturday, and the first Saturday of the new year, 2009. And for those of you who only tune in on Saturday, Happy New Year, and so forth and so on for all of that. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. If you're looking through our webcam, the sun is only just now coming up here on the island of Oahu, out here in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And we actually finally have got a touch of clear skies and clear weather. I was able to go out this morning before sunrise and watch the meteor shower a little bit. Didn't quite live up to some of the expectations we saw in the various science journals, but you know, we saw a few shooting stars here. Meanwhile, of course, on the mainland, the weather is very, very cold. There's another record-setting snowfall taking place across a large swath of the country. It's a good day to just sort of stay indoors and bundle up with somebody you love and watch TV and consume large quantities of alcohol. I think in weather like this, moonshine is no longer a luxury. It is a survival necessity. And you know, you put alcohol in the radiator to keep the car from freezing over, so it makes sense to put alcohol in your body to keep you from freezing over. And for those of you struggling to make those oil and coal payments in the current economy, alcohol might actually be a cost-effective solution to the problem. And even if it isn't, you won't care, you won't care anymore after a while. Obviously, the news continues to be dominated both by the economy and by Israel's bombardment of Gaza. We're going to talk about Gaza first, and we're going to get onto the economy, because in both cases, there's a lot of very troubling things going on here. Now, this is the seventh day of Israel's attack on Gaza. And if you remember your Old Testament or your Torah, on the seventh day, God rested. But in this case, Israel does not. We've just gotten a report that Israel has bombed a public market square in Gaza, and Israel is now shelling Gaza. They're doing long-range artillery across the border. This is usually considered a softening-up operation preparatory to sending in mechanized vehicles, tanks. So the ground attack is obviously just cranking up here, and they're just going in and killing everything. As an interesting and tragic statistic, 57%, more than half, of the Gazans killed since New Year's Day have been children. Now, Tzipi Livni is still going out there and insisting there are no civilian casualties, there are no civilian casualties, there are no civilian casualties. She is obviously playing to that portion of the population that does not have internet hookups or access to alternative media to find out the truth about what's going on. Meanwhile, getting back to the news segment that we heard just before the start of the show, I do wish President Bush would shut the heck up, because even in the last 2 weeks of his administration, he is a public embarrassment, going on about how this is all Hamas' fault, and he's just advertising the fact that the U.S. government is, in fact, totally under the control of Israel right now. And, you know, for him to go on there. Now we've got Condi Rice saying they'd like to find a sustainable ceasefire. They had one. Hamas and Israel had a truce for 6 months that Israel broke on November 4th when they imposed the blockade. And then on November 5th, while we were all distracted celebrating Obama's victory, they attacked Gaza and killed six Hamas officials. Even the United Nations is now saying that Israel broke its own imposed 48-hour ceasefire to launch the aerial bombardment of Gaza. It was kind of a sucker operation. Israel said, okay, we're back to the ceasefire for the next 48 hours. And then when everybody was relaxed, they sent in the bombers. So, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, Bush is still trying to sell this idea that somehow this is all the fault of the people who are being killed. And they're talking about all these little fireworks rockets that Hamas is sending over the border, trying to defend themselves, trying to make the point that Israel cannot continue to invade and kill and occupy with impunity. And the bottom line is, it really gets back to the point. The United Nations has passed all these resolutions against Israel, including Resolution 242. This is a Security Council resolution that said Israel had to get out of the occupied territories. And Israel never has. Now, you remember what happened to Iraq for supposedly defying one UN resolution after it was all over and we destroyed Iraq and we hung Saddam Hussein. We looked around and golly gee whiz, there weren't any weapons of mass destruction. So it turned out that Iraq hadn't actually violated that UN resolution. but he was only suspected of violating just one, and look what we did to that country. Meanwhile, Israel has ignored dozens of these UN resolutions, including the ones to get out of the occupied territories, and nothing happens to them. They are there illegally. Now, Israel's propaganda machine, they are cranked up full tilt rock and roll boogie to just try and sell this idea that, you know, this is all Hamas fault and that Israel is justified in going in there and just killing everything that moves, including market squares full of people, mosques, schools, universities, TV stations, hospitals, pharmacies. They're bombing everything. They've run out of targets to bomb. They're starting to bomb and shell the rubble right now is what they're down to doing. And they're trying to sell this idea, and they go around saying, well, how would you feel if Mexico and Canada were sending rockets into the United States? That's really not a very good analogy unless the United States had invaded Canada and Mexico and was taking their people and shoving them into these little ghettos so that their land could be appropriated, which is exactly what the Israel has been doing in the West Bank, in defiance of the fourth article of the Geneva Convention. And so they're trying as hard as they can with this PR machine to sell this idea that, first of all, that Hamas broke the ceasefire, which is not true, and that, second of all, Israel is perfectly justified being in Gaza and the West Bank in the first place. And they are not. That's why they keep calling these illegal settlements. Oh, I'm sorry. The PR machine has now convinced the American television networks to no longer use the term illegal settlements. They're using the term neighborhood. It sounds so much more fluffy and friendly. They're not illegal settlements. They're neighborhoods. They're Jewish neighborhoods, and they're under threat from those dastardly Palestinians who used to live there and seem somehow upset that they've been asked to move to make way for the Jewish neighborhood. And it's just, you know, and it is a huge crock. And you know something? It is insulting. Israel is really convinced that if they just buy up enough of the corporate media, and they bribe enough of the talking heads, and they exert enough political pressure on the owners of the TV networks, or financial pressure on the TV networks, and they just saturate us with this constant, Israel is wonderful and all the Arabs are terrible, that we're stupid enough to fall for it, especially after being lied to about Saddam's weapons of mass destruction. It's like Israel thinks that none of us has a memory, that none of us remember the Levant affair, that none of us remember the USS Liberty, that none of us even remember last week when the Israeli Navy attacked a boat carrying former U.S. Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney that was trying to deliver medical supplies to Gaza. It's like Israel is convinced that we can somehow be lulled into forgetting all about that stuff and just accept at face value that those 5 and 7-year-old children that have been killed would have grown up to be terrorists, and therefore preemptive infanticide is a new acceptable policy by Israel. It is really angry. There are huge protests all over the world against Israel's policy in Gaza. The media is ignoring them. We're starting to get pictures here at whatreallyhappened.com, and we're putting them up. And, log in. Definitely you want to look at that. There's also a video that's currently up on the front page of our website called Propaganda, Peace, and the Promised Land. It is a wonderful, wonderful documentary about the media bias that we are seeing inside the United States, in which Israel can do no wrong and the Palestinians can do no right. And this is a video that has been put up on YouTube several times, and every time it goes up on YouTube, it gets deleted immediately. It has found other homes in other venues, and we continue to link to those. You must see this, if for no other reason than even YouTube is afraid to let you see it. So you definitely need to go look at that. Anyway, we're coming down to the end of this first segment. We got 2 hours today of your phone calls and your news and the rest of it. This is a live show, not pre-record. So if you want to call in on the air, it's 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. I'm flustered. I'm filled with flu medication and we're just pulling it together here. So, one more time, 800-259-9231. Ethan is answering the phones today and flogging the giant mutant hamster in the mixer board. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Radio.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And that's Thanea Crone and her song, What Really Happened. We're talking about what really happened in Israel and Gaza. And, you know, Israel is always trying to scream and pretend it's the victim. And it is defending itself all the time. And, you know, this is the same dirty trick that Adolf Hitler used to start World War II. He basically his own people, dress up as the enemy, attack the radio station in Gleiwitz, Germany, near the Polish border, and then said, oh, we're being attacked, we must respond. And it was an incredibly disproportionate response. They invaded Poland and marched the entire world off to World War II. Now, we are getting reports out of Azerbaijan that the reason Israel has pulled the same stunt here in Gaza is an attempt to lure Iran into making an overt action of support of the Gazans, or the Palestinians in general, as a justification for an Israeli attack followed by a U.S. attack. So far, Iran has been a little bit smarter than that. And I know it must be very difficult for people like Ahmadinejad to be sitting there doing nothing as Israel bombs the heck out of their fellow human beings down there in Gaza. But at the same time, you know, what is at risk is a wider regional confrontation and possibly a global war. So I know the Arab League and Iran are being vilified in the complacent press for not getting involved. But I think that just underscores that that is exactly what Israel and the United States want. They want to so punish the Gazans, blow up little tiny babies. They're doing everything they can to just incite a response from the Arab world as a pretext to getting this war in Iran that they have been trying to sell us for the last going on 6 years, I think. And we're going to continue to see atrocities coming out of Gaza, broadcast to the entire world, but not to the United States. Here in the United States, we're going to get the sanitized, squeaky clean version of, you know, it's all Hamas' fault, and Hamas has to do this, and Hamas has to do that. And the other comment that Bush made in that little news break before the show was the legitimate representation of the Palestinian people, Abbas. And, of course, that's part of the big lie, because Hamas, that is under attack by the government of Israel right now, won the election in Gaza. They are the legitimate government of the Palestinian people. They share power with Abbas. And yet Israel and Israel's bitch, the United States government, are taking the position that Abbas, who's the installed puppet regime, is the legitimate government of Palestine. And Hamas, even though they won the election, is to be completely discarded and, in this case, completely killed. And it doesn't matter how many innocent people. It is a small price to pay. All these children being killed so they can get rid of the government that the Palestinian people wanted to vote for themselves. This is the supposedly only democracy in the Mideast that we're talking about here. Now, a lot of people are being very critical of Israel, even here in the United States, including a lot of Jewish people are being very critical. A lot of rabbis are very critical about what's going on. They recognize fully that Israel's actions in Gaza are not making the world more safe for Jewish people. It's making the world far more dangerous for everybody, including Jewish people. Israel's going on about how Gaza is just full of suicide bombers and terrorists. And maybe it wasn't before, but it sure as heck is now. Do you think as the bombs and shells fall and blow little children apart and destroy mosques, that you aren't creating far more suicide bombers and terrorists than you are killing, if you are killing any at all? Of course, that's what Israel wants, because without the threat of terror and suicide bombs, Israel's militancy loses credibility. They have to be surrounded by enemies. They have to be surrounded by enemies to justify its policies, to justify its permanent ongoing hostility to justify the vast sums of money that Israel sucks out of other countries around the world, billions here from the United States. And we're not the only countries that are being sucked on right now. They take money from Germany under the so-called Holocaust reparations, and unfortunately the Holocaust survivors don't actually get it. It goes to the government of Israel. They get money from everywhere. It's just this constant black hole of money that is being sucked in there. And it's all justified and solicited on the basis that poor little nuclear-armed Israel is under constant threat from everybody around it, that the Arabs want to wipe Israel off the map. And yet, if you look at the maps of Israel since David Ben-Gurion declared it to be in existence to today, Israel is always expanding. And it's Palestine that is being wiped off the map, bit by bit by bit by bit. As I mentioned in the first segment, there's this video currently linked to whatreallyhappened.com, and the video is called Propaganda, Peace, and the Promised Land, and it's about an hour long, little more than an hour long. You do have to make a point of clicking on that video and playing that video and watching that video, because it just makes it so obvious how completely one-sided the American corporate media coverage has been on this issue. And for a lot of people, it's a wake-up call. We're on the wrong side on this one. We're being forced to be on the wrong side. We're forced to pay the money that Israel is spending to kill all these people in Palestine. We're forced to line up and salute Israel as it walks on by. Freedom begins with the right to say no. Freedom begins with the freedom to say no, and we don't have that freedom, especially where Israel is concerned. Israel can do whatever it wants, even attacking our own Navy ships and killing our own Navy people. And Israel will always be given a free pass by our media and by our government. So Ariel Sharon was right when he said the Jewish people control America. He was absolutely right. And every time Condoleezza Rice or George Bush gets up there on the microphone and they says, oh, yes, this is all Hamas' fault. Hamas did it. They're the bad guys. Absolutely. And there are no civilian casualties, just like Tzipi Livni says. It just advertises the fact that Ariel Sharon was right. Our government has been completely compromised and subverted by Israel. So getting back to the critics of Israel, a lot of Jewish people have come out critical of Israel because they recognize Israel is wrong on this one. A lot of entertainers have come out critical of Israel, and these are people who are risking their careers, because we have seen what happens to people like Rosie O'Donnell, who speak out about the truth, and their careers evaporate. And so these are very courageous people who are speaking out right now, because their careers could be gone tomorrow, absolutely gone. We have seen it time and time and time again. And it goes all the way back to the end of World War II. That if you speak out against the vested interests who are in charge of Hollywood, you can lose your career. Roseanne Barr is now under attack. We're going to talk about her when we get back from this next break. Join us on the air, 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. We'll be right back.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And by the way, if you're wondering about the change in music that you're hearing, we decided to change our theme as we head into our third year of broadcasting here on the Genesis Communication Network. And that's a new little bit of music, courtesy of my wife, Claire, who's a composer, and the musical light of my life. Anyway, getting back to Gaza, we're going to finish up here and move on to some other stories here. But as I mentioned going into this last commercial break, Roseanne Barr is one of the latest celebrities to come out against the actions of Israel, and she is herself Jewish. And she is just being smeared and vilified all over the net. I got one, actually more than one, email from people saying that she's a fat blank, and she has no right to claim to be Jewish, you know, if she dares speak out against Israel and blah, 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 blah. And there's 2 points here. First of all, that obviously if the defenders and supporters of Israel are resorting to such personal attacks, and I'm getting a bunch of them myself as well in a lot of the hate email that comes in here, if they're resorting to these kind of personal attacks, it means they understand already up front they can't win the argument on its merits. They don't have facts and law and logic on their side. And so they're having to resort to this kind of name-calling to try and win their way. And, of course, it's not going to work. And the other situation here is that they're just out there trying to just shout their way through, you know, and win simply by intimidation, And it's really rough. And I hope Roseanne Barr has her Kevlar undies on because, again, people who speak out against the powers that be in Hollywood can lose their careers overnight. And it is a reality for those who choose to have the courage to speak out. Now, speaking of courage to speak out, another issue that a lot of people are very concerned about, we are a nation that is supposed to be at least predominantly of the Christian faith. And yet, when we go out there looking through some of the more religious websites, we're looking for this outrage over the violation of Thou Shalt Not Kill by Israel against the Palestinians in Gaza. Certainly Thou Shalt Not Steal, which has been going on for some 40 years of Palestinian land theft. Thou Shalt Not Covet Thy Neighbor's Property, which is obviously what's going on with Israel attempting to annex the occupied territories in defiance of international law. Thou shalt not bear false witness, which Israel has done with this claim that Hamas broke the truce, when in fact Israel did. I mean, Israel's just going right down those Ten Commandments and knocking them off one after the other, after the other, after the other. We would expect some outrage from the Christian community here in the United States. There has been some, I will grant you, but given the percentage of our population that is supposedly Christian, the amount of outrage we're seeing voiced is really coming from a very tiny minority. And it's like the Christians really have become Christian Zionists. They've been co-opted with this idea that somehow the Israel of today, with its nuclear weapons and its F-16s and its tanks, is somehow the moral and spiritual equivalent of the mythical Israel of King David and Solomon. And there really isn't a lot of, you know, of connection out there. I mean, the only physical evidence they had for Solomon's temple all turned out to be frauds and hoaxes. Anyway, I mean, we do have individuals like Cynthia McKinney, who's a Catholic, who went out there and just put it right on the line and almost paid a very cruel price to try and get medical supplies into Gaza. But going out and looking at most of the Christian websites here in the United States, they're obsessing over Our Lady of Fatima and gay marriage and, you know, did Jesus ever have a wife? And they're all off on this other stuff, and it's an avoidance game because they're caught in this idea that they're supposed to believe in thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not bear false witnesses. But at the same time, they have been convinced that it's a sin somehow to be critical of Israel. And so, you know, there's a huge amount of hypocrisy going on out there. And like I said, there are exceptions that we must point out and applaud and congratulate, like Cynthia McKinney. But, you know, for the most part, the Christians in the United States are not being very Christian-like. All right, we're going to move on here from Gaza because I know everybody's kind of sick and tired of hearing about it. But, you know, and I get emails saying, why are you always reporting on all this? Well, Israel's bombing and shelling and killing these people. And as long as Israel is going to bomb and shell and kill these people, it's going to be reported. So now we're moving on. American politics, it is getting colorful. Now, if any of you have ever been to the Visitor's Gallery at the Capitol building, you will see that there's a very formal process of how the Congress critters will address each other. The Honorable Gentleman this, and the Honorable Gentle Lady this, and there's a, this formal politeness, and it's very stilted, and exists for a reason, because in the early years of the United States of America, Congress was a very rambunctious place. As you remember, Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr fought a duel over policy. There were fistfights in the halls of Congress. There was one incident where a congressman kept a pair of fire tongs by his chair that he would use to beat on Congress people around him to get them to vote the way he wanted them to. So over the course of time, a very set of formalized rules have come into play so that Congress will behave themselves. I think those rules are starting to strain and fracture, because we're already hearing that there may be two attempts to prevent new members of Congress from taking their seats. Roland Burris, who was picked by Blagojevich to take over Barack Obama's seat, they're talking about blocking him from the Congress with armed guards. Now we're hearing that the Senate GOP may attempt to block Al Franken from taking his seat, and that they're going to prevent him from taking his seat until all possible legal remedies to Franken's electoral victory have been exhausted. They're going to try and go back into the courts and say these votes count, those votes don't, until they can reshape the outcome of the election the way they want it to be. And it's just one more indication that the American people really are, as a whole, we're being disenfranchised. I mean, we have court decisions that basically confirm that the elections in 2000 and 2004 were stolen in Ohio and in Florida and other places. On the basis of those court decisions, the last 8 years of the government were completely illegitimate, because we didn't have a president in office that was actually elected to that office. He stole his way in. He was appointed by the U.S. Supreme Court. If you have not seen the HBO film Recount and the HBO documentary Hacking Democracy, get them on Netflix or Hulu.com. It's a new all-video site that's out there. You need to see those things. So now we've got this spectacle of the U.S. Congress literally having armed people at the door to keep out new members of Congress who are legally supposed to be there. And I think it's another indication of just how close to collapse our government is really going to be. Now, over in New York, it is looking more and more like Carolyn Kennedy is going to take over Hillary Clinton's seat in Congress. So far, nobody's standing up there with rifles pointed at her, which, given what happened to her father, would be very tacky in the extreme anyway. But it is an indication that control of the government and control of the Congress really is not in the hands of the people anymore. Now, control of the Senate was supposed to be in the hands of the state governors, and control of the House was supposed to be in the hands of the people. And in both cases, those control links have been kind of broken there. We've got a caller waiting on the line, but we're out of time this segment. So Juan in Florida, stay with us through the commercial break, and we're going to come back, and we'll take your call immediately after we come back from these commercials. So this is What Really Happened. I'm your host, Michael Rivero. Ethan's in the control room. Juan is waiting on the phone line. The hamster is eating his cabbage, and we'll be right back after these commercials.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. We've got email coming in, and we've got callers on the line. The email first, with regards to Israel's bitch, please redirect your listeners again to read Benjamin Freeman's 1961 speech, citing his experience with the Zionists and his prediction that the U.S. would fight another war, number 3, for Israel. So that's coming in the email. I've actually gotten a few of those from that. We're going to go to the phones. We've got Juan in Florida. Aloha, Juan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How are you, Michael? Thanks for having me on. And I just want to say your website is more than a vital service. You're doing fantastic work. What I really wanted to comment on is really my frustration at the spin in the media about what's going on in Israel and just the lack of any true information and how that seems to permeate into otherwise intelligent, reasonable people and how their perception of what's going on is just so wildly distorted. With the Cynthia McKinney case that you mentioned, she mentioned the USS Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
I literally jumped out of my seat, thrilled that finally somebody mentioned the USS Liberty on network television. But if you'll notice, when they replayed her interview, they edited out that section.
Oh, yeah, they cut it out there. They don't want people going out there and starting to look at what's going on. But you know something? For all Israel's talk about how Israel has actually felt they needed to announce that their public relations campaign was working, that the spin was in, that it was all that. And you know something? That's just more spin.
Yeah,
that's just more spin, because if it was really working,
repeating it over and over again, people eventually come to believe it.
Yeah, because if the propaganda was really working, you wouldn't call attention to it.
Exactly.
Okay, so I think basically they're losing the war for the minds of America and the rest of the world because of GCN and websites like mine and Alex Jones and Ryan Dawson, who we're going to maybe have in the second half of the show. We're trying to get
fantastic.
Him on there.
That would be fantastic. He's terrific. I've literally talked myself to death with, friends and family trying to, point out certain facts that are being ignored by the media. And these are reasonably intelligent people that just seem so utterly clueless about what is actually taking place that it embarrasses and frustrates me to no end. And I just, it's just really, it's hard to watch this stuff online, seeing what's really happening, then turn on television and see the absolute distortion.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did you ever get up one morning and just say, today I want to be the bad guy?
Oh, every other day.
I mean, when we were kids and we'd play Cowboys and Indians or Cops and Robbers or something, it was always, the most popular kids got to be the cops and got to be the cowboys and stuff, and like the littlest kids got to be the bad guys and stuff. We don't want to be the bad guys. Well, that carries through into today, and Americans want to believe that they're a good, moral, just people. And so they have a natural reluctance and resistance to looking at any evidence that indicates that maybe we're on the wrong side of history this time.
Yeah, nobody and likes to look at their own warts,
Yeah, and there's a great deal of denial going on. They don't want to admit that our government has gone completely corrupt.
The other day I received an email from an ex-girlfriend of mine who now lives in Israel. And I have not been in contact with her for the longest time. But suddenly she felt the need to send this mass email to a lot of us that she knows. I could tell because of all the CCs. And it was her trying to explain what's going on there. And just, it was this tortured logic and this skipping around of historical details and this evasion of very important events.
The pictures of the Palestinians doing the Hitler salute?
No. This was a personal letter.
Because I've gotten 8 of those so far.
It's just maddening. It's maddening. And I thought to myself, why in the world would she, out of the blue, feel compelled to start contacting people here in the United States to give her, quote, frontline perspective as to what's going on and really painting Israel as the victim in this situation? It was totally alarming.
Well,
she's a very smart, kind person. And to hear this rhetoric coming from her was really disheartening.
Well, it's been announced in the media that Israel is mounting a very aggressive public relations campaign, and in all probability, she was sent this letter already created up, and she was simply, the instructions were, please forward this to everybody in your email because Israel's life is at stake, And there are a lot of people. I mean, we've all seen these stupid chain emails all the time that are going around. There are a lot of people where if you send them, you know, a bunch of junk and just say, please forward to everybody in your email list, they'll just automatically do it.
Yes.
And certainly when you have Israel as the subject line, there are people who will simply do whatever they're told for Israel, O Israel, because they are as deeply in denial as Americans. They don't want to believe their country is engaging in the same kind of behavior toward the Palestinians that the Nazis engaged in against basically everybody else.
I mean, we're financing it, we're facilitating it, we're equipping them. Where does it stop? You know, where does this stop?
It doesn't stop until we stand up and make it stop, is unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, you know, there's more people like you around these days, and, you know, I try to steer people towards your site as often as I possibly can.
Well, it's working, and thank you for the kind things that you've said, and it is working because our numbers are slowly but steadily continuing to climb, both at whatreallyhappened.com and here on the radio show. We had a lovely young lady call in yesterday who's going around all the radio stations in her area trying to get them to carry GCN.
Yeah.
And what she's hearing is from the program directors, they're saying, we understand and we know what's going on. We're not allowed to carry these kinds of programs by our corporate ownership. So it's a slow battle, but, you know, the trend line is obvious, and we are winning. People are going to go where they can find the truth.
Yeah, obviously it's a slow uphill battle, but, you know, it's a Sisyphean sort of challenge, but, you know, little by little. And if you do have Ryan Dawson on your show, you know, and if he's listening, I'd just like to say that, you know, he's another one that I follow his website often, and I've had many exchanges with him on his site, and I think the guy's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I'll leave you I'm sorry?
Okay, well, thanks an awful lot for your phone call, Juan, and please call in again. And again, thank you for all the wonderful things you said about our show and our website. And, yeah, it is very frustrating. And what you need to remember is, as we get into these very controversial times and these very dangerous situations, people who have been in denial about what's going on, they're going to dig their heels in. And so my advice to people, you know, as we were talking to this young lady yesterday who wanted to know what to do, and I said, you're already doing it. You're speaking out. And it gives other people the courage to speak out. Don't waste your time with people who don't want to hear your message, because their self-image has become tangled up with their belief systems about who is good and who is bad. And you're not going to dislodge them from that. You're going to waste a lot of time and energy doing that. Plus, there's a lot of public relations operatives out there who are paid to waste your time arguing with you. And we see them showing up on all the bulletin board systems and so forth and so on. And they'll argue endlessly, and they go around in circles, and they're there to tie you up and make you waste your time. So what you do is you find the people who are ready to listen. You find the people who are looking at CNN and Fox, and you can see the skepticism on their face. And you say, okay, I understand that you don't accept what you're seeing on this TV network, and you are right, and here's where you need to go to get the information. Pick your targets more carefully. Don't get suckered into arguing with people whose only goal is to trick you into wasting your time arguing with them. And, you know, move forward from there. All right, we're coming up here to the end of hour one of our show. We're going to be back in hour two. We're still trying to connect with Ryan Dawson. I've been trading emails with him about some difficulty that he is having with his YouTube account being locked up and videos being deleted. We're seeing a lot of that ever since the ADL got together with YouTube. Videos that are critical of Israel are being deleted. Users' accounts are being deleted. It's absolute censorship at its worst on the internet. And we're trying to get him to come on the show for hour two, so we're working on that. Meanwhile, getting back to the economy, all the indicators are bad. There's our music. We'll have to cover the economy in the next segment. So we're going to take a break here for some news and some commercials and to feed the hamster. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the economy. And possibly with Ryan Dawson, we'll talk about internet censorship. And there's another breaking story coming out of Israel. We've got to cover that as well. So we'll be back after the news. Until then, aloha.
Welcome to the Michael Rivera What Really Happened radio show.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show and hour two, and a special shout-out to all of those AM and FM stations that join us for the second hour of our show all across America, Texas, Ohio, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Florida, station in California. We do seem to be getting out there these days, and we're not even counting all those stations that are pirating our signal, and I personally forgive you. I know the GCN management doesn't, but I forgive you. So as we move forward here, interesting little article just came in. Apparently, a woman by the name of Debbie Ducro, she's an American Jewish journalist with the Kansas City Jewish Chronicle. She was sent an article that was critical of Israel's actions in Gaza. She published it in the journal and was fired the very next day. This is the extent of the power that Israel has over the American media. And yes, this is obviously a Jewish-aligned journal and so forth and so on, but basically, if you say the wrong thing, you can lose your job immediately. We're seeing that across all levels of our society. Now, there is a way to fight back. This last weekend, being the New Year's weekend, and I was covering some trivial things, there was a moment when it looked like the cable TV companies, Time Warner, and I think the other one was Brightwood, if I've got that name correctly, were going to lose their Viacom channel feeds, about 19 different cable channels, including Comedy Channel. And, of course, the idea that we might lose the Daily Show, I mean, that's going to strike terror into the hearts of all true Americans. So I put up this basic story, and I suggested to readers and listeners that they write into their cable channels, and along with saying, please come to some kind of an agreement, just say, if you must save money, let's make Fox News and CNN and these other all-news channels options. You know, like you can say, I want HBO, I'll pay extra for it, otherwise turn it off and I save money. That should apply to all the news channels. And I said the reason is because they are all lying to us anyway about Saddam's nuclear bombs. I actually got an email back from Time Warner Cable. I think enough of you wrote in where it rattled them. Because I got this email back from Time Warner Cable saying, well, we carry the news shows, and the news shows, they're just saying what the government told them to do, and therefore we really shouldn't punish them. And, of course, my response to that is the news media is supposed to be the watchdog on government abuse. They're not supposed to just repeat what the government says. They're supposed to report on what the government is doing, even if it's not what the government wants to have reported. That's why we have freedom of speech in the First Amendment, to protect the media from the government when the media says the government is lying to all of you. So if the defense of ABC and NBC, blah, 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 is that they are only reporting what the government told them to report, then they have abandoned their traditional role of media as established by the Founding Fathers. And I don't want to pay for their failure. And, you know, I sent that back into them. I have not heard back from them. But apparently, you know, if you write in and say, I don't want those news channels anymore, the message is getting through. Now, on that very thought, I want to get to our guest for this hour, for part of this hour. Ryan Dawson is a webmaster, and he's on the line right now. And, Ryan, aloha. Welcome to the show. And tell us about your latest travails with YouTube.
Well, aloha, Mike, and thanks for having me on again. Unfortunately, every time I'm on, it's usually bad news, but
it's the nature of our business, you know.
And before I get into my issue, I just want to say what you were just saying is an excellent idea, and I'm going to write a letter after this interview to do just that, that we should have the option of saying we don't want these news channels, because I could get a lot of people tomorrow to cancel it if that were an option.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're all saying exactly the same thing. There's that U.S. government office of news conformity that guarantees that what Fox is saying is exactly the same thing as CNN is saying, is exactly the same thing as MSNBC. Why should we get three channels forced on us all saying the same thing? You know,
they have corporate parent companies that own these media conglomerates that all have overlapping board of directors and so forth. They have talking points. You can look at the uniformity of the news, and they have the same catchphrases and everything on the same day, in the same stories, in the same order. It's unbelievable.
I remember when gravitas became the buzzword, and it was like instantly everywhere, and people were scrambling for their dictionaries saying, where did they come up with this one?
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to YouTube.
Anyway, so the alternative news, YouTube, at first was a way around this. We've been building the webs, and blogs have been going up, and forums have been going up, and one of the most popular video outlets has been YouTube. I know there's others, but that was a big one. I have a large channel. And prior to this invasion of Gaza, my Palestine videos started being removed. It started on December 11th. And you know that because whatreallyhappened.com had a lot of the little films I'd made about Palestine had been up for many years. And they all started getting removed. And fortunately, I had a video I made that actually had an Arabic translation. It was on your site just last week, and that's been removed as well. And so I looked around, and I figured out that the ADL has made partnership with YouTube, so it was no surprise that my videos started to disappear. And then today, they got rid of some more, and I've been banned from making any new videos until January 15th. And probably they're going to get rid of me completely, but I had no way. All they did was they took the same video that was in different languages and counted them all as strikes against me.
Well, you know, they're scared. They're taking desperate actions. And the good news is they're being so overt about it now that it is calling attention to itself. And a lot of people have been commenting that not just yours, but any videos really critical of Israel or really damaging to Israel are being taken down. The one that I've currently got linked at my website, Propaganda Peace in the Promised Land, was put up on YouTube repeatedly. It was immediately taken down under pressure from the ADL, which has decided that they're going to control what Americans will see on YouTube right now. And what's interesting is, of course, that there was no compunction whatsoever about showing all those IDF videos about bombing this and bombing that. And, of course, that blew up in their faces because their starring video was this overhead drone footage of an attack on what was claimed to be a truck full of rockets. And then independent investigators and reporters on the ground, and this is probably the reason they've all been kicked out now, they got to the wreckage of the truck and discovered that what had been claimed to be rockets was actually welding equipment that they were loading into the truck so that they could go start fixing all the stuff that Israel was bombing. And so this was a huge embarrassment, and comments were turned off on the videos, and then ultimately most of these videos have been taken down because other people are complaining, saying this is glorifying violence and death and murder and war, and that is supposed to be something that is against YouTube policy. But it took a public outcry to sort of take those down.
Well, my video is about North Korea and Iraq and other issues which are just as graphic or whatever pretext they want to use are still there. It's just the ones on Palestine that have been removed. I find that to be pretty interesting. And Peace Propaganda in the Promised Land is an excellent film. I remember getting that at the Palestinian Solidarity Movement. I was the president of a Palestinian organization at William & Mary College, and I worked with Diana Butu, the spokeswoman for the PLO. And been doing that all that since about 2005. And there's another film, Occupation 101, that helped work on that in the beginning. And that as well.
That's another good film, yes.
It's a great film. It's a little bit more. Peace Propaganda and the Promised Land goes more into the media aspect, which is what we're talking about today. And Occupation 101 goes into the occupation. It goes into everything. It's a more up-to-date film. The other one's from 2004. But if you can find those on Google Video or if you can buy it, and it's hard to even purchase these films anymore. If you go to Amazon or try and buy these films, I think you were asking me where you could get it the other day. They're out of stock. I mean, find somebody who has a copy, find a friend or something. But it's very hard to get this information out, and it's like you were saying in the last hour, when someone writes about it, they get fired. When I used to live in Japan, the most shocking, the largest culture shock I had, other than speaking Japanese, was the news. It wasn't anything. I was just shocked when I turned on the news channel and saw people having rational conversations and reporting news. It wasn't celebrity gossip and stuff. And when they reported on the Palestinian issue, because that while I was in Japan, Israel had invaded them another time, they talked about the occupation. They talked about what was actually happening. But in our news media, and I find this shocking, around the world, there's protests all around the world today, and they're in the U.S. as well. But in the world media, in the U.K., in Japan, no matter where you are, they're condemning Israel. But you
can't
even find
a newspaper
in the U.S. to say it.
Ryan, we got to take a break here. Stay with us. We'll talk to you on the other side of the commercials. This is What Really Happened. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Cascadia Public Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Our guest on the line is Ryan Dawson. And Ryan, we were talking about the very obvious censorship that we're beginning to see across the internet and certainly across the corporate media. And it's kind of interesting because last week when Israel announced its very aggressive public relations campaign to present Israel's view of this conflict to the rest of the world, they openly declared that the front line in this war is right here on the internet. So this right here, welcome to the front lines, people. This is where the war is being fought right now, to get the truth out to you against those who would attempt to basically lull you in with a bunch of lies and stuff. And before we get back to Ryan here, I do want to remind everybody that throughout history, nations that want to start a war always resort to lies to their own people to get those war going, even as far back as Sun Tzu and the Art of War. It says all war is based on deception, because that world leader, that national leader that wants to start the war, must lie to his own people, must deceive them, must play tricks on them to get them to be willing to go off to war. The big lie that we are being fed this time is that Hamas broke the truce, broke the ceasefire, and attacked Israel without provocation. That is not true. There was a six-month truce in place. Israel broke it on November 4th. By imposing the blockade, starving the Palestinian people, which is a war crime and illegal. And then on November 5th, they attacked Gaza, killing six Hamas officials. And that's when Hamas said, well, obviously the ceasefire is over. Israel's public relations people went out and said, aha, Hamas has said the ceasefire is over. And that's when everything began to really escalate. And this is the way Israel likes to play the game. But they don't have a lock on the minds of the world's population anymore, because the corporate-owned media does not reign supreme anymore. Ryan, are you still there?
Yeah, that's right. All wars are started by deception, and that's the name of a film I'm trying to get out called War by Deception. And about 20 minutes of that film is specifically on Israel, control of the media, and how things are reported. There's a long clip in there. There's an old debate. You've probably seen it before. It was between Wolf Blitzer and Norman Finkelstein. Wolf Blitzer, of course, is the head anchor of CNN. But at this time, this is when he was an employee of AIPAC, the largest Israeli lobby, a lobby which has been caught spying on the United States and seems to be exempt from trial. That had moved nine times, and now it's been suspended indefinitely. And that's a separate issue, the AIPAC trial. But here we have an employee for the Israeli lobby, obviously biased, complete Zionist, and he's the head anchor of possibly our leading news organization, the CNN. It's one of the big ones. And that's who we have in there, supposedly, for the unbiased news.
Well, as that documentary propaganda piece in the Promised Land underscores, our corporate media is hardly unbiased when it comes to Israel. In fact, it is blatant, the lack of objectivity. And getting back to that word blatant, I think if there is one good piece of news coming out of YouTube's sudden attempts to censor any and all videos critical of Israel, is they're being too obvious about it. It's calling attention to itself. And it's like the comment I made earlier, that if Israel's propaganda and spin campaign was really working, they wouldn't feel the need to announce it to the world that it's working. It's almost like they're trying to reassure themselves that, yes, we really are fooling all those dumb people in all those other countries that we're victims about this. And I think the mere fact that they felt they needed to announce it is really telling us that they're very scared that they're not going to be able to sell this lemon to the rest of the world.
They have to be worried. I mean, the videos on my site, they dug back a year and a half ago and started erasing very old videos that I had up about Palestine. So someone just got, and this all happened within a week. Suddenly, I had all these videos that needed to be banned, some of them with 76,000 views, et cetera, and that's with them resetting the counters and stuff. And they went in and got rid of everything about Palestine, pretty much everything. They went through and took it and removed it. And
well, my guess, probably it wasn't just your channels, it's probably any video sympathetic to Palestine. You know, I keep remembering back to this cultural tragedy where the people of Palestine had put together this traveling exhibit of traditional Palestinian costume. They're very wonderful embroiderers. And this was a touring exhibit going all around the world and really was sending the message that contrary to the propaganda that Israel was putting out at the time, that there was no such thing as a Palestinian people, that they had a culture, that they had arts, that they had crafts. And this exhibit was touring around, and in the middle of the Los Angeles International Airport, in the protected customs area, the entire traveling exhibit vanished without explanation. And it was like somebody said, we must erase any signs that Palestine ever existed as a people or as a culture. And we even hear today, you know, Golda Meir used to say there's no such thing as a Palestinian people. Okay. And Israel likes to claim that Palestine has never existed. And yet we've got maps from the 17th and 18th centuries that very clearly show Palestine in that part of the world. And there's no mention of an Israel.
Well, they're called the Philistines in the Bible. Alexander the Great invaded them in 333 B.C. I mean, Palestine has been there almost as long as written history. That's the people who have been there and been living there. And even if they hadn't been there, it wouldn't matter. You can't just go and ethnically cleanse people for any reason, no matter how long they've been around.
Now, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, if you look at the maps of Israel's growth, they're the ones who are wiping Palestine off the face of the earth. And it is an atrocity, and it's all the worse because we're being forced to pay for it, and our government's trying to pretend that we, the American people, agree with this, and we don't, and we can't seem to make our voices heard within the halls of our own government. And we talk about the illegal settlements all over the West Bank. I think there's an Israeli illegal settlement right on Capitol Hill.
Well, you know, as Pat Buchanan said, the Congress is Israeli occupied. I'd extend that to the mass media as well. Our media is a mouthpiece for the Pentagon, and the constant perpetual conflicts in the Middle East serve as perpetual prophets. They want Israel. They support Zionism, just like they did the same thing with Kashmir between India and Pakistan. Anytime they can get any kind of arms race or constant conflict, they're going to support it, because all like 75% of U.S. aid to Israel is earmarked to be recycled back on our own weapons industries.
And we pay for it all.
Exactly.
We pay for it.
Through the Defense Department, when it was Richard Perle and Douglas Feith and Wolfowitz, et cetera, they're all PNAC members, Zionist think tank members. Perle was an arms advisor to Israel, and they're over there selling arms to Israel and investing in the companies that they are going to be selling the weapons from through private equity firms, which they set up, like Perle and Henry Kissinger did with Trireme Inc. and Hollinger as well.
And Carlyle Group.
The Carlyle Group is another private equity firm, and that has the same people. And it's not even, it's more than insider trading. It's not like they just had knowledge of what was going on. They were actually employees of the Pentagon in charge of allocating the money, which is constitutionally illegal, but they did it anyway. Senator Robert Byrd had a fit about it. I got him on film giving a great speech. Congress is supposed to appropriate the money and allocate the money, but that's
all right. Ryan, we're out of time here, and I'm going to thank you for the call. We're going to have you back on in the show, and I hope you get, you know, go over to Google Video, start putting your videos up there. At the moment, Google seems to still be free of ADL interference. That may change, but for the time being, you can put them up there. So thanks a lot, Ryan.
I'll do that, and I'm going to send you a link about the history of Palestine, how it did exist.
All right, thanks a lot. We got to go. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And I had intended to move on to stories about the economy right now, but we are just getting word that Israel has started the ground invasion of Gaza. The tanks are rolling in. They are shelling buildings. And again, they're not being very careful about their targets. As a matter of fact, earlier today up on whatreallyhappened.com, we put up a link to the BBC saying, in pictures, Israel steps up offensive. And image number four is rather revealing because it's an unexploded Israeli bomb inside a house. And it underscores two things. First of all, that Israel is in fact bombing private houses, or allowing them to be bombed and not being very careful about them. And second, looking at the size of the bomb being used compared to these little tiny Qassam rockets that they're trying to make such a big media storm over, what a horrible terror weapon these little pop bottle rockets are. And then you see this picture of this 10-foot-long bomb lodged inside somebody's front door. And it really does underscore that this is a disproportionate conflict going on. Now, before we go any further, after the show, I want you to do a little experiment, because Israel is out there saying, no, there's no humanitarian crisis. We are allowing everything into Gaza that they need to live on. Go to Google Earth or to Flash Earth or to whatever your favorite satellite photo imaging application is, and zoom in on Gaza. Now, the resolution over Israel is intentionally reduced under U.S. law. We're not allowed to see Israel and Gaza and the West Bank that clearly through the satellites, but you don't need to, because the experiment is very simple. Pull out so that you can see the Gaza Strip all by itself. And the first thing you are going to notice is that Israel, all around the Gaza Strip, is lush and green, and obviously they've got plenty of water. And then when you look inside the Gaza Strip, you don't even need to have the borders turned on to see where the Gaza borders are, because right at the border, it becomes desert. Israel is not allowing water into the Gaza Strip. This is a basic necessity of life. And it is very clear from the satellite imagery that it is being denied to the people of Gaza. This is also a violation of international law, of the Geneva Conventions, of UN charter, of UN resolutions, that when you occupy another country, you're supposed to take care of those people. You're not supposed to displace them so you can build settlements, which is what Israel's doing in the West Bank. So you don't need any more proof. You can just see it right from outer space that Gaza is being collectively punished by Israel. They're withholding water. Fundamental basis of life here. We got an email saying, yes, that Palestinian exhibit in Los Angeles vanished. Same with Iraq's antiquities and historical sites. And as I wrote before, there's a reason for this. Israel is very insecure about its legendary past. They base their claim on ownership of Palestine on the supposed existence of Solomon's Temple. And it's this wonderful story about this wonderful edifice of which no trace remains. Yet, if you go to Egypt or Iran or Iraq or any of those other nations in that area, you're practically tripping over the archaeological remains of the civilizations that were there thousands and thousands of years ago. And I think this is one of the reasons why when the U.S. went into Iraq, they had soldiers around the oil ministry, but they left the museum wide open to be looted because they just wanted all of that stuff to go away. The remains of the ancient city of Ur are now underneath a runway at a U.S. Air Force base. They're trying to erase the archaeological evidence of other cultures and civilizations in that part of the world, because Israel doesn't have any archaeology that confirms their story about Solomon and his temple. There were two artifacts. There was a carved ivory pomegranate. For a while, it was like the star display and exhibit at the Jerusalem Museum. And they had this tablet, the Joash tablet, which was supposedly recording repairs made to Solomon's temple at some point. Both of these artifacts turned out to be completely fake. They were the work of, what's his name? Gilan Odet, I think is his name is. And they're fakes. Even the Jerusalem Antiquities people said they're fakes. And it was a huge, huge scandal. But it left Israel politically with a severe embarrassment, in that they're basing their entire national justification on stories from the Torah, the Old Testament, for which there is no archaeological evidence. And the more they go into the archaeology, the less and less they find. The archaeological evidence, in fact, points to the story of the Exodus actually happening to the Hyksos rather than to the ancient Israelites. And, of course, the Bible is never meant to be history and science. It's metaphor and allegory, and it's stories we tell around the campfire in the days before we had TV and iPods and the Internet. And it wasn't really meant to be factual, and yet Israel takes it as such. And so we're seeing all of this erasure going on. Now, you know, obviously getting back to this, we're seeing a lot of this report. This is the big story. Apparently, this is the main thrust. They're going into Gaza, and they're just shooting everything that moves. And this is a war crime on national television. You've paid for it. You should be ashamed of it. And you should be angry. You should be angry because the bottom line here is Israel does not own Gaza or the West Bank. They'd like to. They would like to, but they don't. Legally, these are occupied territories, and occupied territories are covered by international rules of conduct that Israel is in violation of. The United Nations Security Council, in the days before the U.S. kept blocking and vetoing anything related to Israel, UN Resolution 242, Security Council Resolution 242, ordered Israel out of the occupied territories, the West Bank and Gaza. Had Israel obeyed the United Nations and gotten out of the occupied territories, none of this today would be happening. There would be no Qassam rockets. There would be no suicide bombers. There would be none of this stuff going on because all the Palestinians want are their homes back. And Israel, from the very moment David Ben-Gurion declared its existence, has opposed the creation of a Palestinian state because Israel wants that land. They want all of Jerusalem. They want all of the land that they can get. That's why they're always invading Syria. They're always invading Lebanon. They're always invading these other people. They are the aggressors. They like to pretend they're the victims. Do like Hitler did at Gleiwitz. They say, oh, these other people, they're about to attack us. Therefore, we must attack them first. And they're off bombing and killing. And this could very easily blow up into World War III. In fact, you know, I just posted another article by one of Israel's top military commanders saying that the Israeli military must be ready to immediately turn away from Gaza and go into Iran. So they're pushing it. They're pushing this war in Iran as hard as they can. And if they go into Iran, and if they sucker the United States into going to Iran, it will be a global war. And your kids are going to be catching the bullets on the front line. And our national economy, which is already in the loo, is going to be destroyed. The United States is not the nation it was going into World War I and World War II, where we had a huge manufacturing base and national wealth that we could use to sustain the kind of production and industrial output it takes to win a major global war. Look at what happened between Russia and Georgia this last summer. More than a year ago, November of 2007, the U.S. and Israel were arming the Georgians and training them with the best that we had to give them, and Russia blew through them like wet Kleenex. That tells you if this goes to a regional war and we get Russia and China on the other side, we're going to lose. We're going to take a break here. We're going to be back. We're going to be paying very close attention to this ground invasion. And we'll be back as soon. We'll be back right after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns, while the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the last segment of our show today. And the news, of course, unfortunately, has taken a not unexpected turn for the worse. Israeli officials have announced that the ground forces have crossed into Gaza. Gaza's this little tiny place. If you've been to Google Earth and looked at it, it is really very small. And basically, Israel's armored columns are going in. Artillery, long-range artillery is shelling Gaza. They're basically going in. They're probably just going to scrape it out. They've been wanting that shoreline property for quite some time, and I think this is it. And probably I'm going to make a prediction here that we're going to see Israel come up with some kind of an excuse to go into Lebanon. And once they're in Lebanon, they're going to push for this war to go into Iran. They've been building to this very, very long time. They know that Barack Obama is probably going to be a lot less sympathetic to this kind of an operation than George Bush. So for the next 2 weeks, they're going to be pushing, pushing, pushing as hard as they can to go as far as they can. And I notice also that the emails and websites and things that we were getting out of Gaza, the on-the-ground reports, have all ceased. So I think at somewhere there's been another cable failure to cut off bloggers and web people inside Gaza from reporting on what Israel is doing. They threw the press out yesterday, and even though the Israeli Supreme Court said foreign journalists could remain in Gaza, Israel's military threw them all out. They don't want any witnesses to what's going on. And that right there tells you that they're not just going after the Hamas government. They're just on a program of genocide and extermination. This is just as bad as when Hitler rolled into Poland. And it's just as dangerous taking us into World War III. And, you know, of course, unfortunately, all we're getting is the U.S. and Israeli media's view of this. And so they're basically still sending the lie that this was necessary, that Hamas made this happen. And it isn't. This is an invasion. When you have bombers and airplanes and tanks and you're rolling in and you're just crushing everything in your path, that's not a response to acts of terror. This is war under a false pretext of defense. And this is a very dark moment, not just for Israel, but for the United States, because we have paid and abetted this. Now, we have people in this country, in the United States, who hold that the manufacturers of guns should carry the blame for the crimes committed with those guns. That if I go and I buy a gun and then I hold up a liquor store and I shoot the owner of the liquor store, that the liquor store's family has a right to sue the gun maker for the damages. Well, if you support that position, then the reality is that the United States government bears the guilt for what Israel has been doing with all the weapons that we've been sending over there. And yes, there are treaties that say that Israel is not supposed to use the weapons we give it to attack other countries, other places, other occupied territories. They're allowed only to use those to defend their own territory from an invasion. And so Israel is already in complete flagrant violation of the treaties with the United States that they signed to get all these weapons. Billions of dollars of weapons, $12 billion a year in grants and loans, which are usually later on forgiven. Don't forget the Cranston Amendment. No matter how much Israel owes, the U.S. every year gives it enough money to pay off its debts. Most Americans don't know about that one either. So this could very easily be the start of World War III, because Israel has not gotten into all this trouble just for Gaza. They're going to try and find a way to justify going into Lebanon. Remember, when they started the bombing attack on Gaza, the Border Patrol up in Lebanon found a bunch of rockets set up to fire into Israel from the Lebanon side of the border. And they discovered them quite by accident, and they took them apart. And it was very obvious somebody was planning on firing those rockets into Israel to justify a retaliation against Lebanon. And even though the rockets were taken down for the next several days, Israel was flying its warplanes over Lebanon. That's an act of war. When you take a warplane and you fly it across a border without that other government's permission, that's an invasion. That is technically an act of war. It was a provocation. They're flying over hoping somebody would shoot at the Israeli jets. Lebanon, fortunately, was smart enough not to give Israel an excuse to start a new war inside Lebanon. And as, of course, that I mentioned at the top of the show before we heard about this this operation going into Gaza, now they're reporting 10,000 Israeli soldiers are crossing the Israeli border into Gaza right now. And it's just going to be a slaughter over there. And before this started, as I mentioned, we got a report out of Azerbaijan that Israel's real goal for doing what they're doing in Gaza right now, this incredible sense of overkill, they're trying to goad Iran into an overt act of support for the Palestinians and the Gazans so that Israel will have a justification to attack Iran, to bomb its nuclear sites, and to drag the United States into a war with Iran, which will put us in direct conflict with both Russia and China. I can't tell you how dangerous this is. And I am reminded of a statement made by the French ambassador many, many years ago, wondering why the world should be in such danger of global nuclear war, all because of that shit. I can't say it on the, they'll take the radio station license away, that blankety blank little country in the Middle East. I almost did an FCC boo-boo. Didn't quite get out, though. And, it's all nonstop, night vision scope of all the things that they're doing in Gaza. And, you know, I've got this photo. I'm going to put it up after the radio show is over. And it shows protesters in Palestine. And on one side, you've got the Israelis in their body armor, U.S. supplied, and their big Lexan shields, U.S. supplied, and their M16s, U.S. supplied. And then on the other side, you've got the Palestinians throwing their shoes at them. That's how one-sided this conflict is. Israel wanted this war. They wanted it on November 4th when they imposed the blockade without any reason whatsoever and started starving the Gazan people. They wanted it on November 5th when they attacked Gaza and killed six Hamas officials to provoke the current escalation. By way of deception, thou shalt do war. That is the motto of the Mossad. And Israel will attack anybody and say any lie to get what they want. We saw that with the Levant affair. We saw it with the USS Liberty. We saw it with the ramming of the Dignity, the aid boat, on its way to Gaza. If the boat had been made out of fiberglass or an aluminum hull, the boat would have been sunk completely, and they would have gotten away with it. Thank goodness it was a wood hull, and it survived the impact. And Cynthia McKinney got to shore, and she is angry. And this is a woman who knows how to speak mad. And no matter how much of this stuff that Israel seems to do, they get a free pass from the U.S. media and the U.S. government. And you are forced to pay for it all, and your children are going to be forced to die for it all. And the time for denial is over and past. The warnings we have been giving you all this time about what was going to happen and how they were going to try and start a new war because they don't have any other ideas on how to save the economy. So let's start a big, huge war so everybody's distracted. And it's happening right now. As soon as this show is over, if you have not already done so, turn on your TV and tune into any of the news channels because this is it from now on. The great and glorious, victorious Israeli forces are in there stomping on those mean, evil, wretched Palestinian Gazan terrorist type people. It's going to be saturation all the time, and it's a war crime, and we're on the wrong side of it. All right, we've only got a couple of minutes left here, and I'm disgusted that this is happening and that we are forced to be a part of it. I'm just absolutely disgusted. The U.S. is asking Arab nations to cough up $300 billion to fund the auto bailout. I don't think that's going to happen as of right now. U.S. governors are seeking $1 trillion in federal assistance. Where do the state governors think the federal government's going to get that kind of money? They're going to get it from us, the taxpayers. So the U.S. governors, whose states are running out of money because their people are running out of money, is asking the federal government to take more money from us to give back to the states. Does that make a lot of sense? All right, it's the end of our show. Obviously, very tragic weekend underway. Please keep an eye on what's going on. We'll be back Monday night, probably talking about the genocide of the Palestinians in Gaza. Until then, stay safe, be well, drive carefully, and aloha, America.